أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. The principles of the conduct of a person with regard to their own self. Imam Ali Salam said that these principles are seven. وأصول معاملة النفس سبعة: الخوف والجهد وحمل الأذى والرياضة وطلب الصدق والإخلاص وإخراجها من محبوبها وربطها في الفقر. The seven, as Imam Ali Salam counts them, the first thing we discussed last night: fear. Not fear of Allah, that is of course in relation to conduct of Allah. To be fearful of one's own self, of one's own lower self. This fearfulness of the self would always make us alert and would always make us to watch over ourselves, not letting the lower self to overcome our intellect. Now, to expand on this a little bit, why should we be afraid of our lower self? Let me give you something which the scholars of morality in Islam mention. And that is the equilibrium between different qualities or faculties of the soul, which should be established by the intellect. Intellect is the opposite of lower self. When we say nafs, of course nafs has many different aspects. Intellect is part of nafs. That lower self, that faculty in man which drives us to do evil things, is part of nafs as well. So who should fear who? When we say we should fear our nafs, who should fear our nafs? It's the nafs that should fear the nafs. It's different aspects of our entity, our existence, our soul. So that intellect which is placed in our nafs should be always afraid of the lower self, which commands us to evil, which instigates and stimulates us to do bad things because of shahwa or ghazab. Now, this shahwa and ghazab, anger, and the faculty in man which drives them to do things, which is the shahwa, desire. Desire and ghazab, desire and anger, are two very important faculties of human soul. If it was not for desire, we would have died. If it was not for anger, we would have not been able to defend ourselves, to combat our own self. It's with anger that we do it, that faculty. However, if we do not control them, they go off hand. The intellect should control them. What should fear what? The intellect should fear the lower self that always commands us to evil. Why it commands us to evil? Because we want things without limits. There is a sense in man which wants things without limit. We are greedy. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. Man is created greedy. You may ask, why Allah has created us greedy? Why didn't he made us so humble, not desiring anything, ascetic, abstaining from everything? If that sense was not in us, to always want more, more perfection, we wouldn't have moved towards perfection. So that's why Allah says, خُلَقَ الْإِنسَانُ حَلُوَى. We have put this sense of always wanting more in man to grow, to go towards perfection. But if we do not control it, we use it in our desire and anger, and then we always want more. We have millions, we want billions. We have billions, we want trillions, and without any use. So, that fear, always we have to be fearful of ourselves, our own nafs. So, this is one aspect of our conduct towards our nafs. The second aspect that the Imam alayhi salam mentions, al-juhd. Juhd is ijtihad, struggle, strive. We shouldn't let ourselves to become lazy. We have to always strive for whatever we want. This is how Allah has created this world. You get what you strive for. You achieve what you work for. And especially this is the case in spiritual affairs. It is the case in material world as well. You have to try, but sometimes you get things without any trying. You inherit lots of money, for example. Or suddenly you win the lottery. Of course, not Muslims, non-Muslims. They win lottery, for example. So they haven't tried for it. But in spiritual issues, things are different. You have to try for it. Even if people are sometimes given gifts, spiritual gifts, which distinguishes them from others, they have to try to use it correctly. Otherwise, it would work against them. If a spiritual gift is given to you, for example, that you can read the minds, some people have this gift, or you can see behind veils, then you just use it to, first of all, waste your time by reading this mind and that mind and this person and that person, or poking your nose here and there to see what's behind the veil here and there. You have lost your gift, and then you are in a worse position than people who don't have that gift. So always the striving is, in a spiritual world, in a spiritual realm, striving is the most important thing. Hamlul adha. And of course, on this way, in this journey of the soul, we encounter lots of difficulties, hardships. We have to bear. We have to endure. We have to accept it. Sometimes these difficulties are internal, sometimes they are external. Sometimes, for example, we become outraged by something inside without losing anything outside. We have to endure. What Iblis could not endure was taking that difficulty of bowing to Adam alayhi salam. He could not take it. And although he had gone through all those stations of spiritual growth, to the extent that he was worshiping with the angels, and angels regarded him as one of themselves, when he could not take that difficulty, it's hard always. Sometimes people say to us or do to us things which is very difficult to tolerate. But if we want to discipline ourselves, we have to tolerate them. So this is the third thing. وَالرِّيَاضَةِ Discipline. This is the most important thing. For making a good character, you have to train yourself. You have to exercise. You know, if you want physical fitness, you have to exercise. If you want a spiritual fitness, you have to exercise. And spiritual exercise, moral exercise, by spiritual exercise, I don't mean become an ascetic or going into caves or such something like that. No. Moral exercise. Control yourself. Discipline your life. I have to recite half an hour Quran every day. I have to learn this. I have to do that. I have to bear whatever people, whatever, for example, my relatives do to me, I should ignore. You discipline yourself. This is very important. Let me tell you one very, very interesting story. All of you have heard the name Abu Ali Sina, Ibn Sina or Avicenna, the great philosopher and the great teacher of morality and Irfan, actually. When he was very young, he had a teacher who's not less famous than him. He is Abu Ali as well. This is Abu Ali Sina. He is Abu Ali Maskawi. Abu Ali Ibn Maskawi. We call him Ibn Maskawi. In Arabic, they say Ibn Maskawi. In Persian, we say Ibn Maskuya. Of course, because he was Iranian, Ibn Maskuya is more correct. But it's common that we say Maskawi. Now, this Abu Ali Ibn Maskawi was one of the great figures in the court of the Buwayhids, the Shiite dynasty in the early centuries of Islam. And he was one of the greatest teachers of morality. Many books of morality he has written, four kings, actually. Now, when he was a quite prominent figure, Abu Ali Sina was a young man, less than 20. Well, was a young boy, actually. But very intelligent, very gifted. You know that Abu Ali Sina could just go through a book and remember everything. Once, he didn't want, for example, he didn't want to say that I have not read such and such book. Once in front of the king, a book was given to him. A very difficult book in a very scientific field. And the king said, have you seen this book? Have you read this book? He just opened it and went through it. Yes, I have read it. I know what's inside. And he started to explain. Then the man who brought it, had brought it, said, when did you read this book? No one has seen this book. He said, just now. I read it just now. And he had memorized everything in the book. So very clever person, very intelligent. Now, he went to this, one of the lectures of Ibn Maskawi, and he gave him a walnut and said, can you please calculate the area of this walnut for me? Now, of course, this was not a question for learning knowledge. It was a question to somehow show how intelligent he is and how less knowledgeable Ibn Maskawi, who is a great figure, is. Ibn Maskawi told him, actually gave him his book of morality, Taharatul A'raq, the purity of foundations, the roots. And he said, you don't need to know the area of this walnut. What you need to know is how to discipline yourself. Read this book so that you do not ask questions like this from scholars in front of others to show that you are more knowledgeable than them. It is said that from that point, Ibn Sina realized how ignorant he was by doing such a thing, by asking such a question, by trying to show off that I know how to calculate the area of a walnut. You do not know how to calculate the area of a walnut. Now, in the past, the scholars were very concerned about disciplining their own self, learning high-quality morality. Nowadays, unfortunately, we know how to go to moon and come back. And incidentally, the only place that the Americans have sent force and could have come back safe is the moon. Everywhere else they have sent force, they couldn't have come back safely. Now, we know how to go to moon, but we don't know how to discipline ourselves. We lack in morality. we lack in gratitude towards God. So one of the most important things that we have to do in this regard, الرياضة. Now, even more important than that, exercise. Now, before going to that, some people say the character that we are given by God is inborn. We cannot change it. Or we are raised like this. We have been raised in such a family, in such a society. We cannot change ourselves. This is how I am. I try to be myself, not something else. Of course, we have to try to be ourselves, not someone else. However, this does not give us an excuse not to change ourselves. We can change. We can change our character. If you are always, if you are a person who always nags and criticizes, we can gradually discipline ourselves to be able to keep quiet in those places where we should not criticize, where we should not say something which is not possible to do, for example. So the character can be changed. However, one very important aspect in changing character, training ourselves, is what Imam mentions here. The other aspect of disciplining one's own self, the way we have to treat our nafs. Talabu sadiq, you should always be after the truth. Truth is very important. Truth is something which gives us elevation in the spirituality. Now, by truth, I don't mean that we don't lie to each other. Well, that's, of course, truthfulness as well. Our truth, that our actions confirm what we believe in, what we say. We believe in certain values. Our actions should and must confirm and witness that we really believe in those values. Oh Allah, I love you. I say this. But as soon as I encounter something which drags me to sin, I lose my control. How do I love Allah? That my act does not confirm what I say. When we say Allahu Akbar, one of the interpretations of this, the gesture that we do at Takbiratul Ihram, that we raise our hands towards our ears, is that we throw everything beside Allah behind ourselves. This is one of the explanations of it. Allahu Akbar. I threw everything else behind. Only Allah. Well, are we truthful? Now, if you are not truthful, of course, Allah is not going to punish us because He knows how weak we are. Another thing that Allah mentions about us, وَخُلَغَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Man is created weak. We are weak. However, we will be deprived of certain things. Now, this is our experience. Let me tell you a very beautiful hadith, and you can judge yourself whether you have been deprived of what is mentioned in this hadith or not. If you are not deprived, you are truthful. If you are deprived of that, you have to work more. You have to try more. In the same book, Misbah al-Sharia, in another chapter, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, إِذَا كَبَّرْتَ, when you say Allahu Akbar in Salat, it's a chapter on Salat, on Takbiratul Ihram, he says, إِذَا كَبَّرْتَ فَاسْتَصْغِرْ مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاوَاتِ الْأُولَى وَالثَّرَى دُونَ كِبْرِيَاءِ. When you say Takbiratul Ihram, try that everything in the heavens and the earth become small in your eyes compared to the glory and greatness of Allah. Because you are saying Allahu Akbar, isn't it? So everything should become small. Everything should lose importance while we are standing before Allah. Astaghfirullah. You know, one of the things that we have to do istighfar about is what? Our salat. 70 times after salat, every one of us should say astaghfirullah for this salat. What type of salat I performed? Now, when you say Allahu Akbar, fastasghir ma bayn as-samawati al-ula wa thara duna kibriya'ih. Because when you say Allahu Akbar, Allah looks into your heart. And if your heart is not a witness to what you say, then Allah would respond. Now, this is of course metaphorical. Ya kadhib atakhta'uni, you liar, you try to cheat me. You say Allahu Akbar, but I'm not Akbar in your heart. Wa izzati wa jalali. Now, would he put us in hell? No. If he wants to put us in hell, all of us would go to hell, isn't it? Because when we say Allahu Akbar, many things, as soon as we say Allahu Akbar, we start thinking about other things, isn't it? So if he wants to take us to hell for this, of course, all of us will go to hell. No, something else he does. If he looks at your heart while you say Allahu Akbar, and the heart is not a witness to that, Allah will say, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي لَأُحَرِّمَنَّكَ حَلَاوَةَ مُنَاجَاتِي. I will deprive you of the sweetness of my munajat, whispering with me. You don't enjoy your salat. When we are liars, we don't enjoy our salat. That's it. That's enough for us. That's enough for losing. Going to hell is not a matter here now. And Allah would not take people to hell for that. However, what we lose is great. In the explanation of this verse, وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ إِذْ قُضِيَ الْعَامْرَ. Warn them of the day of regret, when the affair is finished, is complete. Judgment comes. وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ إِذْ قُضِيَ الْعَامْرُ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ. They are in negligence. وَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Now, in the interpretation of this verse, we have a hadith. Imam alayhi salam says, in the day of judgment, everyone regrets. The mu'min and the kafir. Everyone regrets. Of course, mu'min before going to paradise. Because after going to paradise, all regret is taken out of the heart and everyone is happy. But while we are waiting for judgment, still waiting for judgment, everyone, mu'min and kafir, regrets. Well, kafir regrets is clear. يقول يا حسرة على ما فرطت في جنب الله. What I missed, what I lost. I was in the presence of Allah, I was denying Him, and this is my destiny. Why the mu'min should regret? Why the mu'min should regret? They regret of those hours, of those moments that they spent without remembrance of Allah. They didn't take more. They regret that they didn't take more with themselves. It's, if you consider your life as a book, the pages of this book, you fill it with dhikrullah. This is what we take with ourselves. Love of Allah, dhikrullah. These are the things that we take with ourselves. Now, of course, there are many days, many hours we spend without remembering God. Those are like blank pages on our book. If we haven't done anything bad, they're just blank. There's nothing in it. And those hours and minutes and days that we spent in Zikrullah, they are full. good stories. So that is why the mu'min and the kafir, both of them regrets. And how regretful every night we should be. I'm talking about myself. How regretful every night we should be about the day that which passed. How many hours of it passed without zikrullah? How many minutes we spent in salat? However, how much of that we spent in thinking about other things, not thinking about God, not remembering God? وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. About some of people who pray, Allah says, وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They do not remember God, but for a trifle. Some of us are like this. Is God going to lose anything? No. Who is going to lose anything? Us. We are going to lose. We are the losers. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Your children, your wealth should not divert you from the remembrance of God. What will happen if we don't do it? Okay, Allah, thank you. You have given us everything. Why should we always remember you? What's the point? وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. They will be among the losers. That's the point. I say this because you will lose if you don't do that. So this talab al-sadiq, in whatever we say, in whatever we do, is very important. There is a station between the station of ordinary people and prophets. And that's the station of Siddiqeen and Siddiqat. Siddiqa and Siddiq. The Quran mentions one woman as Siddiqa and a couple of men. The Quran mentions Maryam to be Siddiqa. وَأُمُّهُ صَدِّيقَةٌ. The mother of Jesus was a Siddiqa. It's not just a complimentary sort of description. No. That was her quality. She was a Siddiqa. She had this station of Siddiqat. And many prophets, before being appointed to prophethood, they are Siddiqeen. Actually, Allah would choose his prophets from among Siddiqeen, or Shuhada, or Salihin. Only these people could be appointed as a prophet. So before becoming prophet, they have to be one of these three. Siddiq, Shaheed, Shaheed not in terms of martyr, those who can witness over others. And Salih, in the, of course, sublime meaning of the term. So some of the prophets are mentioned, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. Ibrahim was a Siddiq and a prophet. There are some Siddiqeen who are not prophets. They are not appointed for several reasons. Like Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam. He's Siddiq, but he's not appointed as a prophet. So if you Shias are asked, you say that our A'imma alayhi salam have connection to the ghaib. They receive inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know things by themselves, by heart. Allah actually throws in their heart knowledge. So what's the difference between them and the prophets? If they are not prophets, they should be ordinary people. If they are ordinary people, how should they know all these things? Well, we would say there is a sort of intermediary station between prophethood and ordinary people. And that's the position of Siddiqeen and Siddiqat. Now, Maryam al-Siddiqa in the Quran, she was not prophet, of course. However, the Quran says the angels descended to her, revealed things to her. She talked to them. Allah directly instructed her. Was she a prophet? No, of course she was not a prophet. Are our imams who have the same station, are they prophets? Of course they are not prophets, but they are siddiqeen. Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha was siddiqah. Now, this talab al-sidq, because siddiq and siddiq, siddiq and siddiqah are all doing with this sidq. What did they do? What is their sidq that Allah raises them to that position? Whatever they do, whatever they say, whatever they intend, they strive hard to be exactly according to whatever they believe, to the values that the Quran teaches them. They strive hard for it. And they become Siddiq. We have in hadith of the in the hadith which says, لا يزال المرء يصدق ويتحرى الصدق حتى يكتب عند الله صديقا. A person always is truthful and always seeks truthfulness in whatever they do, until gradually they grow and they are written with Allah to be a Siddiq. Is it possible for us to reach that point? Am I talking about myself? No. The past history would not allow it. It's difficult now. It's very difficult that whatever I say is exactly of whatever I believe, and is exactly whatever I do. It's very difficult. This is the maqam al-sidq. However, it's not impossible. It's very difficult. It's not impossible to become like that. As لا يزال المرء يصدق ويتحرى الصدق وهو حتى يكتب عند الله صديقا. But a good news. The good news is that if we follow these instructions which are mentioned in the Quran and are mentioned in the Sunnah of the Prophets and the Hadith of A'immah alayhi salam, on the day when we go to paradise inshallah, we will be with these people. We will be with them, not from them. We are not in their rank. We see them, but it's just like, for example, you see a very spiritual scholar in this world, you wouldn't become like him, but you will be with them. You enjoy the company. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Whoever obeys God and the Prophet, just these two, in an ordinary manner, as ordinary believers we are, then they will be with these people, with Nabiyeen, Siddiqeen, and Shuhada and Salih. We will be with them, inshallah. We enjoy their company, although, of course, their rank is not imaginable for us. Whatever they achieve, or they will achieve, is whatever they have achieved in this world. وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ, as we mentioned before, وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِ. Whoever strive for themselves. Okay. طَلَبُ الصِّدْقِ وَالْإِخْلَاصِ. These two are together. Ikhlas is sincerity. Of course, all of us know what that means. I'm not going to expand on that. The next thing, إِخْرَاجُهَا مِنْ مَحْبُوبِهَا. We love many things. We like to do many things. Our desire stimulates us, motivates us to do certain things. The ghariza which is in us, that inherent nature of every man, would call us to do certain things which we love to do. However, we are instructed not to do. We have to bring our nafs from these things. This is another very important aspect of treating our own self. إخراجها من محبوبها. There's a nice story mentioned in Wasail al-Shia. Once some of the youth in Medina were contesting with each other, having a competition of weightlifting, a very heavy stone, or several very heavy stones they were lifting, and Prophet, peace be upon him, was passing by. And they asked the Prophet, "Ya Rasulullah, come and judge between us, which one of us is stronger?" And they started to lift these heavy stones. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was just watching. After they finished, the Prophet said, "Do you want me to judge who is stronger?" Everyone was happy. "Yes, Ya Rasulullah, who is stronger? Of course, what a just judge is going to judge among us." Now, the Prophet said, "The strongest of you is the one who controls himself from whatever they like and desire. This is the strongest." Weightlifting is just a physical exercise. That's just nature of our construction. What is important, what gives strength to us, what is a criterion for our strength, is the way we can control ourselves. That's the strength. And whatever they like would not remove them away from principal values. That's another thing that the Prophet is said to have mentioned here. And if they are angry, anger would not take them outside the boundaries of taqwa. That's another point of strength. Very important. Very important. So, إِخْرَاجُهَا مِن مَحْبُوبُهَا. There is one other thing here which I have to elaborate on it. وَرَبْتُهَا فِي الْفَاغْرِ, tying it in poverty, which of course has a very deep meaning. It's not just to be poor. Inshallah, we'll discuss that tomorrow night. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. A few sentences I mentioned in Farsi, and I hope that our English speaking audience would bear with us, inshallah. عرض کردیم که در اصول معامله با نفس امام صادق علیه السلام در مصباح الشریعه ازشون روایت شده که فرمودند 7 چیز از اصول معامله با نفسه. خوف و که دیشب صحبت کردیم دربارش، جهد، تلاش و کوشش. هیچ کسی در این دنیا بدون تلاش به هیچ جایی نمیرسه، مخصوصا در امور معنوی. در امور مادی ممکنه ما بدون تلاش بعضی وقتا به جایی برسیم، اما در امور معنوی کسی بدون تلاش به جایی نمیرسه. و در این راه باید اذیت‌ها و ناملایماتی که سر راه ما میاد تحمل کنیم، اگر می‌خوایم به مقام اخلاقی و معنوی برسیم باید آزار و اذیت‌های دیگران رو تحمل بکنیم. قطعا در خانواده با ما بدی می‌کنن، باید تحمل کنیم، مقابله به مثل نکنیم. مقابله به مثل دستور قرآن نیست. مقابله با دشمن دستور قرآنه. فمن اعتدا علیکم فاعتدوا علیه بمثل ما اعتدا علیه، مقابله مثل. اگر دشمنی به شما حمله کرد، شما حق دارید به همون اندازه، نه بیشتر، به همون اندازه که به شما تعدی شده به اونا تعدی بکنید تا دیگه دوباره این کار نکنن. اما در امور شخصی مقابله به مثل دستور قرآن نیست. در روایت داریم پیغمبر اکرم هیچ وقت برای شخص خودشون در هیچ امری مقابله به مثل نکردن. هیچ وقت. هیچ وقت برای خودشون از کسی انتقام نگرفتن. بله اگر بحث اجتماعی، بحث حق و عدالت اجتماعی بود، بله وارد می شدن. ولی اگر بحث شخصی بود این کار رو نمی کردن پیغمبر اکرم. خب این باید انسان تحمل بکنه دیگه، خیلی سخته. کسی به شما دشنام بدهد، کسی به شما ناسزا بگوید و شما هیچی نگید، صبر بکنید، خیلی سخته. ولی این برای تربیت نفس مهمه. و ریاضت، ریاضت اینجا به معنای در واقع تربیت کردن نفسه. نفسمون رو بتونیم تربیت بکنیم. اونجاهایی که میخواد زیادی بره جلوشو بگیم، اونجاهایی که کوتاه داره میاد هلش بدیم بره. یک داستانی رو نقل کردم در صحبتم که اینجا به زبان فارسی هم نقل میکنم، که ابو علی سینا در جوانی مدتی نزد ابو علی ابن مسکوی تلمذ میکرد. استاد اخلاق بود ابن مسکوی، شخصیت با فضیلتی بود، اصلا در حد صاحب ابن عباد در دربار آل بویه، همچین شخصیتی. یه روز که داشت درس میداد، ابن سینا هنوز خیلی جوان بود، خام بود، خیلی خام و جوان بود، یه گردوی رو آورد با خودش مجلس درس. این گردو رو البته ابن سینا در همون 18-19 سالگی سرآمد علوم ریاضی و طب و اینا شده بود دیگه، خیلی آدم با استعدادی بود، خیلی با استعداد، خیلی باهوش. کسی را هم دیگه به قول معروف آدم حساب نمی کرد، همه رو از خودش پایین تر می دید در همون سن. این ابن مسکوی شخصیت بزرگی بود و استادی بود و اینا، اومد یه روز یه گردوی رو آورد توی مجلس ابن مسکوی و بهش گفت که میتونی مساحت این گردو رو اندازه بگیری، سطح این گردو، مساحت سطح این گردو رو اندازه بگیری. و خیلی کار زشتی کرد، جلوی جمع بیاد بخواد استاد خودشو خیت بکنه مثلا، میتونه این کارو بکنه، نمیتونه این کارو بکنه. ابن مسکوی کتابی نوشته بود به نام طهارت الاعراق، طهارت ریشه های درون، طهارت نفس. کتابو داد به ابن سینا، گفت که اون چه که مهمتر از اندازه‌گیری مساحت سطح این گردوه، درست شدن اخلاق توه. این کتاب بخون، اخلاقتو درست کن، مساحت سطح گردو مهم نیست. ابن سینا اونجا متذکر شد در همون جوانی. بعضی وقتا تأثیر یک استاد چقدره. ابن سینا خودش شد از اساتید اخلاق و عرفان و اینها، تأثیر یک استاد خوب یک در واقع تلنگر بزنه به آدم که داری اشتباه میری، جوان راحتو داری اشتباه میری، علم آموختی، سواد آموختی، نمیدونم قدرت بدنیت زیاده، قهرمان المپیک شدی، نفستو چه کار کردی، اخلاقتو چه کار کردی. ابن سینا متذکر شد، متذکر شد، از اون به بعد راه اخلاق رو پیش گرفت. خب این ریاضته، این که انسان خودش رو تربیت بکنه. و شاید علمای اخلاق بالاترین چیزی که درباره همه گفتن از مهمترین امور همین ریاضت نفس. متأسفانه ریاضت معنای بدی پیدا کرده، برای اینکه مثلا یکی بره تای چا 40 روز ریاضت بکشی، نه، این معنای اون چیزی که از اینجا مراده اون نوع ریاضت ها نیست، که انسان خودش رو تربیت بکنه. خیلی از اینایی که این کار رو میکنن بیشتر برای میکنن یه قدرت هایی پیدا بکنن. این قدرت ها رو برای چی میخوان پیدا بکنن؟ برای توحید و خداپرستی نیست، برای اینکه بخوان به یک قدرتی از دیگران برتر دست پیدا بکنن. چه فایده ای داره؟ خیلی ها درس میخونن برای اینکه برتری و تفاوت در این جامعه پیدا بکنن. خوبه ها، اما تربیت اخلاق نیست. و اما یکی دو مسئله دیگه هم که فرمودند، طلب صدق و اخلاص که دیشب دربارش صحبت کردیم، اخراجها من محبوبها، اینکه انسان نفس خودش رو کنترل بکنه، هرچی دلش میخواد انجام نده، هر کار دلش دوست داره انجام نده. متاسفانه الان ارزش جامعه جدید مدرن این شده که هر کی هرچی دوست داره باید بتونه انجام بده. این دقیقاً ضد ارزش‌های اسلامی است. ما میگیم هر کی هرچی دوست داره نباید انجام بده. و اون چیزی که الان داره ترویج میشه به عنوان ارزش عام و جهانی اینه که باید ما جهان رو طوری بسازیم که هر کی هر چی دوست داره هر کاری دلش میخواد بتونه انجام بده. این اتباع هوا، ان اخوف ما اخاف علیکم اثنان، اتباع الهوا و طول العمل. این تبعیت از همین هر کی هرچی دلش میخواد انجام بده. خداوند انشاءالله در این ماه مبارک رمضان ما رو حفظ کنه از شر نفس خودمون و کمک کنه که فائق بیایم بر این نفس و از برکات ماه رمضان بهره مند بشیم. پروردگارا به حق محمد و آل محمد جمع حاضر رو، کسانی که با اینا در ارتباطن، کسانی که بهشون التماس دعا گفتن، همه رو ببخش و بیامرز. امر فرج ولی ما نزدیک بگردان. و صلی الله علی محمد و آله الطاهرین.